from Washington, D.C. It's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the Velvet. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. The number to call, 301-984-9570, 301-984-9570. My friends, we have one of the most important, explosive shows you will ever hear on talk radio. That's a promise and a guarantee. In hour two, we will have a full-depth analysis and commentary on President Obama's, our dear leader's, news conference today, earlier this afternoon. We're going to go through everything that occurred at that news conference. But first, the issue of this hour. My friends, before I get into the actual issue, I've been asked by producers to engage your help. We, obviously, as this show is growing, as we are now inexorably marching towards national syndication, thanks to the help of all of you out there, the listeners of Cooner Country, we've been having a problem with our Facebook page. For some reason, we don't know why, there is a person out there, we believe he's a supporter of the show, but under Jeff Cooner on Facebook, is impersonating me. And this is causing a lot of problems for me, for the show, for the producers, for everybody. And so I really need your help, all of you out there, members of the Cooner Country. If you're on Facebook, go to the official Facebook page. It's Jeffrey T. for Thomas, Jeffrey T. Cooner, K-U-H-N-E-R, at Facebook. Please go to that page, and if there's anything you can do to help us persuade this person to take down that phony Jeff Cooner Facebook page, we would tremendously appreciate it. I really need your help on this. My friends, at 5:15, we will be joined by Larry Sinclair. Larry Sinclair is an individual who has just come out with a book, recently published a couple months ago, called Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder? For those of you that don't know the situation about Larry Sinclair, he is an individual who for years has consistently maintained that he had a homosexual relationship with Barack Obama in 1999. In fact, that this relationship happened twice, and in the process, they did cocaine and crack cocaine together. The story of Larry Sinclair is as follows, and this is very, very important. What Mr. Sinclair alleges is that in 1999, when he was on a trip to Chicago, Illinois, he was there for a convention looking for a good time. At that convention, and as during his trip in Chicago, he then asked a limousine driver to take him around town to show him the sights. While he was being taken by that limousine driver, Larry Sinclair asked the driver, did he know somebody who liked to party? And that limousine driver said, oh, you better believe it. And at the time, Barack Obama was then a state senator in Illinois. He was not known as Barack, he was known as Barry Obama. And so the limousine driver said, Barry likes to party. And so in that limousine car, according to Larry Sinclair, they picked up Barry Obama, who introduced himself to Larry Sinclair, and then Larry Sinclair told Barry Obama, Larry to Barry, I want to get high. Now, Larry Sinclair in his book makes no bones or tries to hide anything about his past. He is explicit about his past. He was convicted and spent time in prison for fraud and theft. He is an admitted drug dealer. He is an open, promiscuous homosexual. In fact, in the book, he also claims that he helped take illegals from Mexico engaging in human trafficking across the border. So let's, to put it charitably, he has a very checkered past. He liked to have a good time. And he asked Obama whether he knew a place where he could go to get some cocaine and some crack cocaine. Barry said yes. And so then Larry Sinclair gave Obama $250 to purchase the cocaine. Obama then, in the limo, was taken to a place which was clearly a place where you buy drugs, a drug house, and $250 worth of cocaine was purchased. In the limo, according to Larry Sinclair, he and Obama began to snort cocaine, and Obama in particular was on a crack pipe. He was sucking on a crack pipe. And according to Barry, what he told Larry Sinclair was that the more crack he takes, the more cocaine he inhales, the more sexual arousal he gets elicited. And so he asked Larry Sinclair to perform certain sexual acts upon him. Larry Sinclair describes them in graphic detail in the book. After their tryst together, then Sinclair is brought back to his hotel, where he spends the night. The next night, he claims in his book, that Obama then came again at his door, at the hotel, saying that he loved the sex the night before, and that he wanted a repeat performance. And so Sinclair says, for the second time, in his hotel room, they did drugs, they did some more cocaine, some more crack, and again, they had a homosexual relationship, a sexual romp. Now, here is where the plot really thickens, according to Larry Sinclair. When Obama began to run for the presidency, he began to notice, hey, this for him, for Larry Sinclair, this was just another of many affairs that he had with promiscuous strange men. He suspected Obama was a politician. By the way, he was very silent about his career and what he did, very evasive. He also suspected that he was married. And lo and behold, he sees Obama on television, who is now running for the White House. Now, according to Obama, in his official autobiographies and on his campaign website, Obama admitted to doing drugs, first in high school, then he changed the story and said it was in college. First he said it was marijuana, then he admitted to cocaine use. Larry Sinclair then says in his book that he contacted Barack Obama's campaign and said, look, this is a factual inaccuracy. He did not use drugs simply when he was in college. He used drugs much later on in adult life. I know, I did it with him. From that point on, Larry Sinclair began to be discriminated against and harassed, systematically harassed, marginalized by the Obama team. Now, Sinclair then claims in his book, that he was approached by an individual by the name of Donald Young. Donald Young was somebody that Larry Sinclair says was an affiliate, a surrogate of the Obama team. Young was also a practicing homosexual. Young says that he approached, or Sinclair says that Young approached Sinclair, that they began to get close together as friends, and that Donald Young made it clear that he was coming in on behalf of the Obama team and asking Larry, did you speak to other media outlets? Who have you spoken to? Who have you told your story to? Do you plan to blow the whistle on Barack Obama? What became unbeknownst to the Obama administration, according to Larry Sinclair, is that Donald Young admitted in his unfolding relationship with Larry Sinclair that Donald Young was also a lover of Obama. In fact, a longtime homosexual lover. And then, to Larry Sinclair's horror, later on, Donald Young was found dead shot in his own apartment. And the question is, why was Donald Young killed? Sinclair believes in his book that this was because Donald Young had a long-standing sexual relationship with Obama, that he was Obama's gay lover. Now, why am I mentioning all this? I want you to understand the context of the interview when I'm going to have Larry Sinclair on in just a few minutes. Why am I doing this story? Many of my liberal critics will say this is gutter tabloid journalism. Why are you going there? Do you believe the allegations made by Larry Sinclair in his book just because you have him on the air? My friends, let me be perfectly clear to you. I don't know if I believe the allegations in the book. I don't know if I believe Larry Sinclair. There are many aspects of his past I don't like. I am very skeptical about many elements of this story. But, and I say this very importantly, the Puerto Rican media has touched on this story. The Spanish media has looked into this story and interviewed Larry Sinclair. Yet media outlets in the United States refuse to touch this story. Nobody will touch it. They are trying to blackball Larry Sinclair and this book. And my duty as a journalist is to pursue a story to its end. My duty is to serve you, the listeners. And what I want this interview to be is for you to listen to what Larry Sinclair has to say. And if you believe him, demand that the media further investigate this story. If you don't believe him, then tell him to get lost. And this is why I'm going to be encouraging all of you throughout this interview. Call if you have any questions for Larry Sinclair. 301-984-9570 is the number. And here is the mother of all questions. If Larry Sinclair is lying, why has he not been sued by Obama, by Michelle Obama, or by anybody affiliated with the Donald Young family or the Obama team? My friends, this is why I believe this story deserves to be heard. You deserve to hear it, and then you deserve to make your judgment. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. The last honest man in Washington. Will be right back after this break with Larry Sinclair and your phone calls, 301-984-9570.
Call Cooner now, 301-984-9570.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. My friends, the producers just want me to reiterate to you, there is somebody out there using a phony Facebook page impersonating me. It's Jeff Cooner Facebook. That is the phony page. The official real page is the Jeffrey T. Cooner Facebook page. Please go to jeffreytcooner.com, and also for all of you out there, supporters of the Cooner Country, if there's any way you can find out who is behind the phony Jeff Cooner Facebook page, please let us know, because we want to get this thing closed down as quickly as possible. We are now joined by Larry Sinclair, the man who wrote his recent book. It is called Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. Mr. Sinclair, welcome to the Jeff Cooner Show.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, Larry, Mr. Sinclair, as I laid out in my monologue, I've pretty much laid out the facts of the case, what you describe in your book. Let me ask you the first obvious question. How did you run into Barack Obama? When did you first meet him, and what took place?
Well, actually, excuse me. It wasn't running into him. I was actually introduced to him. I was in Chicago for the graduation from the Great Plains Navy Training Facility, or the Navy basic training, of my godson, Lee Dukes. I had reserved a limo with five-star limo service for the time that we were there, and I had notified the driver that if I could not take Lee out, I was still going to go out and wanted to know if he knew anyone in the Chicago area that liked to have a good time, that would feel comfortable going out and showing me Chicago. And I was actually introduced to Barack Obama by the driver, who was by the name of Jagir Multani.
Now, Mr. Sinclair, that was in 1999, correct?
That's correct.
All right, so now you're being taken around the limo, you're being shown Chicago, and and your limo driver says you have he has somebody in mind that perhaps would like to party with you in Chicago.
No, we weren't driving. Actually, I had made the arrangements with the driver prior to going out on Saturday.
Okay.
Okay. I had made the request on Friday. He had contacted me prior to picking me up on Saturday and said that he had a friend he was going to introduce me to. He had picked me up from the hotel room. We drove into downtown Chicago. I was actually introduced to Barack Obama as I was exiting the limo. He was actually standing outside the limo when we pulled in. And I was introduced to him strictly by the name Barack Obama. There's absolutely no doubts who this person was. We go into the bar. We have a few drinks. I think I listened to part of your monologue. I didn't exactly tell Barack Obama I wanted to get high. I had made the comment while having drinks and, you know, small talk that I could use a line to wake up. And Barack Obama had actually asked me if I was referring to coke. And when I told him I was, he said that he knew where to get it.
And then so he went and you gave him $250.
Right. We left. I had given him $250 to purchase approximately an 8-ball. People have harped on that.
Okay, sorry, for the lay listeners. Sorry, because I've never done drugs in my life. What is an 8-ball?
It's just 1/8 of an ounce.
Oh, 1/8 of an ounce. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just referred to as an 8-ball.
Okay.
And people have harped on the price saying, oh, well, that's not the right price. What they don't understand is they're taking everything in current pricing and times. They're not looking back at 99. Actually, $250 would have bought a little bit more than an 8-ball of street.
Okay, no, Mr. Sinclair, we don't need you to get into what people have been accusing you of. Just for our listeners, lay out the story for them.
Okay, we picked up the coke. He comes back to the car. I start doing a couple of lines off of a CD tray off of his knee. I start rubbing on his knee. He's undone his pants.
I got you. And, okay, you had sexual intercourse.
Right. Then he pulls a crack pipe out of his pocket, asked me to hand him the lighter, which I had my lighter over on the little drink holder on the side there, bring it up, and I had no idea that he did coke. I had no idea that he smoked crack. But the fact that he had the crack pipe in his pocket told me that this was not a casual user.
Okay, and then, so you spent the evening with, he was getting high, you were getting high, you had a sexual relationship, whatever, a sexual encounter with him in the limo.
In the limo, had drinks, and then I went back to my hotel room.
Now, he meets you again the next night, correct?
He shows up uninvited. I never, ever gave him my room number. The driver did have my room number. The driver was a friend of his, but he shows up the next night at my room door. I open the door, he comes in, he offers me more coke for myself, and I told him I still had some from the night before, lays back on the bed, engages in a second sexual encounter, and he smokes crack through a crack pipe in the hotel room on the second occasion.
And then after that, as you state in your book, the two of you never saw each other again after that point, correct?
Exactly. I left Chicago. I was there briefly, you know, from November 3rd through November 8th of 99. Never saw him again. I recognized him while in Mexico during the 2004 Democratic National Convention when he gets up on stage. I'm sitting there looking, oh, my God. You know, and then again, I thought nothing of it because it's a politician.
Mr. Sinclair, we're going to pick it up right after this break. 301-984-9570 is the number. If you have any questions for Larry Sinclair, he is the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. We'll be right back after this break. This is Jeff Cooner. on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington.
Now, we're back to the Jeff Cooner Show. Call Cooner now, 301-984-9570.
Blinded by the light.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570 is the number. If you want to speak with Larry Sinclair, he is the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. Mr. Sinclair, so you're in Mexico. You see Barack Obama deliver a keynote speech at the Democratic National Convention. You're saying, well, he's still just a politician.
Exactly.
And then but then he runs for president in 2008.
Well, actually, it was in 2007 that I contacted his campaign.
Okay, now why did you contact his campaign?
Because I saw this guy and I was watching news coverage of some people, of some young kids in Philadelphia who were telling, I think it was MSNBC, why they supported Obama or why they liked him. And they were talking about his drug use and about the fact that he was honest and transparent and this and that. And I'm like, wait a minute. You know, this isn't right. He needs to be honest. If he's going to be honest about his drug use, then tell the truth all the way to when he actually stopped. So I contacted the campaign. I never once mentioned the sexual encounters with the campaign. I simply said that he had lied about the extent of his drug use and he needed to come clean with it. Then I get these phone calls from someone identifying themselves as Donald Young. And this is something I think you and your audience needs to understand.
That's right. Now, here is where the plot really thickens. All right,
exactly.
Go, Mr. Sinclair. So now Donald Young contacts you.
Yeah, and he contacts me on cell phone numbers that were left with the campaign. This is a gentleman I've never met in my life, okay? And he claims to be a representative of the Obama campaign, and he asked me why I didn't ask them to, you know, come clean about the sexual encounter. That right there told me that this was no one that I had spoke to in the campaign, because I had never once mentioned the sexual encounters with the campaign. Never once. It was over the course of 3 months, a little more than 3 months, where he finally started opening up and explaining that he wasn't with the campaign, that he was actually intimately involved with Barack Obama, that he was the choir director at the church.
Now, this was at Trinity, right? At Reverend
Trinity.
Wright's church.
Right. In one phone call, Donald Young had told me that he was consulting with his pastor, which at the time I figured, okay, it was Jeremiah Wright, on the best way to come out and make the correction about his drug use. It was a couple of weeks later in a subsequent phone call that Donald Young is telling me not to expect him to come clean and starts having some hesitation in his voice and some concern about my safety. Little do I know, it's not my safety that he should be concerned about. It was his.
Now, when you say he didn't want to come out, he didn't want to come clean about himself in terms of his relationship with Obama?
No. That Obama was not going to come clean about
Oh,
drug
I got
use.
You. Okay. About his drug use. I follow you.
Exactly.
And then Donald Young says to you that he's worried about your safety, but you're now, in retrospect, you're thinking maybe he was worried about his safety.
Well, no. He was worried about mine, but I think he should have been worried about his.
Okay. Now, what happens then? So he gives you a call, he says he's worried about your safety, and then what happens?
Well, I don't hear from him again, and it was around sometime in March of 2008, late March, that I realized that this Donald Young was in fact a gentleman that had been murdered on December 23rd of 2007. I contacted the Chicago Police Department, provided them a sworn affidavit in regards to the phone conversations had with this gentleman, the fact that I believed that his murder was related to Barack Obama and Jeremiah Wright, provided the Chicago Police Department with a list of cell phone numbers that had been contacted on and text messaged on, provided
now,
them...
Now, Mr. Sinclair, I'll let you continue, but I'm just curious. When you say that Obama and Wright were involved in the murder of Donald Young, how do you mean?
Well, I'm convinced that Donald Young was murdered for one reason and one reason only. You could not smear Donald Young the way I have been smeared by the Obama administration. I have a past. It's very easy for you to attack me, okay? Donald Young could not be attacked. Donald Young was a respectable choir director in the church. He was a school teacher at an elementary school. He was pursuing to become a principal in the Chicago public school systems. There was nothing in his background. If Donald Young had have come out publicly and acknowledged that he had conversations with me, Barack Obama's campaign would have been stopped in the water.
So you're saying that now, what did the police say when you asked them to investigate the murder? He was apparently shot dead, found dead in his apartment, correct?
That's correct. He was found shot with multiple gunshot wounds. The apartment door was closed. There was no forced entry. At first, people in South Chicago tried to say that there was a serial killer going after gay black men in the south side of Chicago. That was quickly put to rest, and the media stopped reporting that. I had spoken with Detective McVickers. I've spoken with him off and on for almost, 2010, 2 years now.
Now, and this is Detective that's overseeing the case?
He was the detective that contacted me on the morning after the Pennsylvania primary in 2008 regarding the affidavit that my attorney and I had filed with the Chicago Police Department. And now it's like he has been attacked and put under so much pressure to where now all I get is it's an open investigation. There's been no arrest made.
Mr. Sinclair, let me ask you this.
Go ahead.
What is the public good of you coming out with this? In other words, what do you say? Let me just play devil's advocate. Mm-hmm. You're throwing all of these accusations against Obama. You're saying he did drugs with you. You're saying he had sex with you. You're saying that he may even have been involved in the murder of Donald Young, who you say was his longtime gay lover.
Mm-hmm.
How can you prove these accusations? How is this not just a form of National Enquirer sort of smears? And more than that, what's the public good?
Well,
what's the purpose of all this?
I'm going to answer the last question first. The public good is, don't you think it's in the public interest that you know whether or not the person sitting at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue had someone killed in cold blood just so that they could get into that office?
What about his drug use? Because, I mean, you can't prove the Donald Young connection. I understand you have suspicions. But mm-hmm. in relation to the drugs and the sexual encounters, how is this of public benefit or public good right now?
Because you need to know who it is that's making decisions that affect this country. You need to know that this person can be blackmailed. You need to know that this person has tendencies which can be exploited and used that can harm every American. It's pure and simple. And people don't understand that. This isn't about attacking or smearing someone. This is about doing what Barack Obama himself said when he first started his campaign. Openness, honesty, transparency, and a whole new kind of politics.
Now, Mr. Sinclair, again, just to play devil's advocate,
mm-hmm.
you are somebody who you admit in your book was convicted and spent time in prison for theft and fraud. For forgery.
Okay.
That you're somebody who's an admitted drug dealer. You help to smuggle illegal aliens across the border. You have somebody with a criminal. You know, you're somebody with a criminal past.
Mm-hmm.
It's your word against Obama's word. Or not even. He hasn't even answered your accusations. But the point is, why should people believe you?
Well, why should people believe me? Because I contacted the credit card company when I first came public, Citigroup. Citigroup was prepared to release my credit card records from 1999. Then all of a sudden, I get contacted by the Chicago Tribune, John Crutzen, who had spoken with David Axelrod, and told by Axelrod that they were going to destroy me and they were going to connect me with Bill Clinton. It's not that I can't prove it. It's that every aspect that we have taken to pull these documents and these records. I could prove it simply if Barack Obama would agree to release his own cell phone records from 1999, his own Senate records. These are supposed to be public record, but nobody's releasing anything. All you do is you get hit with brick walls every time you go.
Have you in any way been sued by either President Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, anybody connected to the Obama campaign, anybody connected to the Donald Young family? Anything regarding your accusations, has anybody sued you?
Mr. Cooner, I have not been sued by anyone, and if you have had a chance to look through the book that I sent to your producer, you will find a host of names, named and phone numbers in that book of everybody that I've come in contact with and everything that's transpired. And I guarantee you, I have not been sued by anyone. No one, I'm not even concerned that anyone would come after me legally in a civil court because they know they would lose.
So, in other words, your argument is that, for example, if somebody, if you, just for, not that you would, but just hypothetically, if you accused me of smoking crack cocaine with you in a limo and having homosexual sex, you're saying, well, Jeff, if it was a complete lie and fabrication, you would unleash a pack of lawyers to devour me within 24 hours. So, in other words, if they're not willing to sue you, maybe it's because there's a lot of legitimacy to your case, correct?
Exactly. People use the argument that, oh, Obama hasn't responded or taken legal action because it would just legitimize the accusation. That's not necessarily the case. I give this argument. He hasn't said anything or come after me because to do so would be what Bill Clinton did when Bill Clinton said I did not have sex with that woman. He would open himself up to being proven a liar. And Barack Obama's not going to take that chance because he knows he will be proven to be a liar.
We are talking with Larry Sinclair. He is the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. We are going to be taking your phone calls right after this break. If you have any questions for Mr. Sinclair, 301-984-9570 is the number. 301-984-9570 is the number. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. We're joined by Larry Sinclair. He is the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. Mr. Sinclair, before we go to our jammed phone lines, let me just ask you one last question before we take in questions from the other callers.
Yes, sir.
Have you spoken to Donald Young's family after he was found dead, and what did they say to you?
I have spoken with several members of his family who have cooperated with me. There's a few of his family members who will not speak to anyone. His mother actually agrees that Donald Young's murder has something to do with Barack Obama, as do a couple of his sisters and nieces.
Let's go to John in Bethesda on line two. John, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thanks for taking my call. Mr. Sinclair, how are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
All right. My question is on this story, based on the truth and validity of it, would you be willing to make this bet? And I was going to say life, but if you won that, you wouldn't gain anything. So here it is. You lose. If this story is true, I mean false, everything or almost everything you said was a lie, you lose, you die. die, but if you win, you get Barack Obama's $5 million he made this year. Would you be willing to make that bet that this is true?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand everything you said, but I would make any bet that it's true.
All right, so basically, yeah. So, yeah, basically, if you lost the bet about the truth of it, if it was a lie, it would, you would basically die. But if you won, you get $5 million. So.
In other words, Mr. Sinclair, would you stake your life on the fact that this story is true?
I have staked my life on it for the last 2.5 years, and I would today.
Let's go to Victor on line 3. Victor, welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thanks. Larry, I don't understand why Obama gets away with everything. It seems like he's a cat with 9 lives. Slips out of one thing after another thing after another thing. People are now trying to nail the birth certificate issue on him. Now, what makes you think you're going to be the one that nails this guy once and for all?
Well, actually, it's not my intent to nail him once and for all. I mean, I've been out there since January of 2008. I have had Bo Biden, Joe Biden's son, issue false arrest warrants against me. I've spent more than $30,000 in legal fees. I've sued people that actually went to slander and libel me on the internet to protect Barack Obama. I'm not saying that I'm going to be the one or that it's going to destroy him once and for all, but everybody in America needs to know what this man is before 2012 comes around.
We're talking to Larry Sinclair. He is the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. 301-984-9570 is the number. If you want to ask any question of Mr. Sinclair, let's go to Scott in North Carolina on line 4. Scott, thanks for holding and welcome to the Cooner Show. Hello, Scott? Hello, Scott? I think we lost Scott.
I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, Scott. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Sinclair, I wanted to ask you, you know, you had touched on that you had talked to some of Donald Young's family.
Yes.
Do you think that any of those in the family that have agreed to talk to you, do you think they would come forward to the press, you know, and discuss this further?
Well, actually, Donald Young's family did, in early 2008, make a statement before the Chicago media slamming the Chicago Police Department for failing to investigate his murder in an effort to protect Barack Obama. They've already done that. The family is, however, extremely petrified and scared, and I understand and I don't blame them for it, because he still has very strong connections in Chicago.
Scott, thank you for that call. Mr. Sinclair, we got about a minute left. Let me just ask you then this one final question. I think it's the mother of all questions.
Okay.
Do you think in the end the public is going to buy your story? Do you think in the end that you believe you will be vindicated?
I do believe I will be vindicated, and a good example as to why. Wayne Mattson, a reporter in the D.C. area, did not believe a word I said at a press conference on June 16th of 2008. And he even wrote a couple of articles immediately after the press conference, pretty much slamming me. And yet he recently wrote an article 3 days ago saying that he has sources in Chicago that have actually confirmed to him the allegations that I've made during the presidential campaign. So yes, I believe I'll be vindicated.
We've been talking to Larry Sinclair. He is the author of Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. Mr. Sinclair, thank you so much for appearing on the Cooner Show.
Thank you, Mr. Cooner.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. My friends, I laid it out for you. It's now up to you to decide. We'll be right back with more, not just about the Larry Sinclair interview, but our dear leader gives his first press conference in months. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington.
The Cooner Show.
Cooler Show.